Thou gavest blessed Lawrence grace to overcome his fiery torments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Lawrence, whose feast we celebrate today, he, as you know, stretched out upon his gridiron, was slowly roasted to death in agony, in an agony. Now, to bring your mind to a more worldly topic, football. The football team, too, they play on their own type of gridiron, just as our saint of today was roasted on his. And the football team on its gridiron is in agony as well. And likewise are all of those athletes who are now over in communist China competing against one another at the Olympics. They are all in agony. Now, I know what's going on in your mind. It's, what in the world is Father talking about? What is this agony? Well, pain, first of all, yes, pain. There might be, for some of these athletes, the pain or the torment of a torn ligament or a sprained ankle or some other injury such as that. For other athletes, it might be the tension which is in the atmosphere. For instance, the suspense of who's going to win? Am I going to win or am I going to lose? Then all of the other things like that. It is the striving to win, the striving to beat your foe. And for some of the players over there in China, the smog that we read about in the papers is also an effect. It has a bad effect on those players and is a source of great pain. And then for the ones who actually live there in that spooky police state, they have also the repressive rulers there. And that is a source of pain. Yes, pain, you might agree with that. But agony, what is this agony? Yes, I say agony because, remember, the word agony, in Latin, agonia, it occurs only one time in all of the Gospels, just once, at one time. And in the Greek, the meaning of this word is sport. Now, this is not, we should not think that it means merely a loosely organized outdoor play such as roughhousing for recreation or, you know, throwing the baseball around or shooting baskets or jumping rope, but rather sport in its essence, in its very essence. That is, as it is defined, a sport is an organized contention expressed physically, contending to achieve some sort of goal and thus beating the opponent. So the main idea in any sport is this. It is a striving against someone for something. It is a striving for a certain prize, a fighting against another person to achieve this prize. Now, when St. Luke used this word agony, or as it is translated in Greek, sport, when he used it for what our Lord suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, he acknowledged how high were the stakes for which our Savior strived, for which he fought. And so he expressed the importance of what you strive for and with whom you strive and how, in what manner you strive for it. Now, in pagan times, just like today, if you think about it, watching athletes fight, watching them suffer and bleed and beat one another and themselves be beaten. That was just another part of everyday life in their and our pagan culture. Yes, it is a pagan culture these days as well. But we should know that this was never the case. It was never just another part of daily life in the Christian era, that is, from the fall of Rome, which was the beginning of the triumph of Christianity, to the communist revolutions in 1848, the sporting events, they were not popular. They were not organized or had during that Christian era. But rather, the Christians, they pretty much understood and lived. That is important. Not only did they understand, but they lived the teaching of the church that sports are opposed to every moral principle that our Lord teaches in the Holy Gospels. And think about that. If you think about it, you will all agree, even if you love sports. I myself am a sports fan, but I would have to say that they do indeed, at least the professional sports, go against the moral principles taught by Christ. And so we should all take it into consideration and not be taken in to the pagan culture. And the reason that sports are opposed to the moral principles is very simple. Sport is a contention, a fight. And contention is vice. It is a sin. And therefore, sport can be a vice. Now, in fact, during that Christian era, the fathers of the church, such as our own St. Augustine, whom we know and love so much, and also St. John Chrysostom, they all preached during those years very strenuously and very much against sports. And really what they were preaching against was the Olympics, the Olympic Games, the same games that are going on right now in China. The fathers of the church were striving to condemn and to do away with. That should make us really think. And so well did they preach against it that they actually succeeded for many, many years. And when the local authorities in Asia Minor tried to revive the Olympic Games, well, there was a very holy man, Saint Hypatius. I'm sure that many of you don't know anything about him. But when the authorities tried to bring back these games, he threatened the authorities that he would occupy the playing field with all of his monks if they dare do such a thing. And so they never were able to revive these games. And so it passed. Throughout this whole Christian era, there were no regular or organized sports. There were none. Sure, there might still be, for instance, the oddball game, the Roman boxing or wrestling or races, things like that. But even those, at that time, were considered to be aberrations and even sins. And St. Thomas, in his book, the Summa Theologica, that is one of the greatest works of the Church. In fact, it was placed in one of the councils on the holy altar, the high altar, alongside of sacred scripture. And our Lord himself praises this book most highly. And St. Thomas, the author of that book, actually condemned sports and listed the many, many vices which result from these sports. But in that Christian era, the sports which survived, they were very strictly limited and restrained, right? Not only by church law, it wasn't only church law that condemned them, but the common Christian, the common everyday Christian as well, they had a sort of mind that they would avoid the sports because of the vices that are a result of them. And so it was not until, actually, this is an interesting footnote, it wasn't until after the revolutions, that is, the French and Communist revolutions of 1848, that the sport was actually revived. And even when it was brought back, the Christians began to oppose it, but then, reluctantly, they were forced to tolerate it. Now, as I just said earlier, sport goes against the moral principles of Christ and the gospel. Imagine for a moment a very strange picture. Imagine football, a football game played according to the maxims of the gospel. The gospel preaches charity. That is the main virtue of the gospel. And imagine a football game played that way. Oh, you've fallen. Let me help you up. Or as soon as you intercept the football from the other team, you say, "Excuse me, I believe this is yours. You can have it back." Imagine all of that. Imagine. Now, who would buy a ticket to such a game? Well, probably, at first, many people would just to see such an absolutely ridiculous thing. But eventually, people would grow tired of the sport because they no longer get to see fighting or blood or any of the rest of it. They don't get to see contention. You see, sports, when you think about it, and really think about it, some of you who truly love sports, they bring with them sin. For starters, there's the pride and anger. If you've ever played an organized sport, you know how easy it is to lose your temper, to get into a fight. Then later comes the immodesty. Think here of cheerleaders and things like that. And then comes materialism. I remember when Michael Jordan was playing basketball for the Chicago Bulls, he was making somewhere around $30 to $40 million per year. just for playing basketball. On top of that, there were all the endorsements. I believe he made another $30 or $40 million on top of that. So he is bringing in, because of his name, because of sports, all of this material wealth. $70 million per year. Think of that. Think of all of that. It brings with it materialism. And our Lord says in the Gospel somewhere that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. We should pray for those athletes who are so wrapped up in their sports and their materialism. No polite circumstance, no referee, no rule, no uniform, or the greatest marching band would make sporting right. Because in sport, the principle is this. In sport, you fight to prove that you are superior to another. Nowhere in the gospel will you find that that is okay. To fight to prove that you are superior, that you are better than another. In fact, that would be considered a type of pride. So where does that fit into the gospel? So just as a Christian code of conduct, we traditional Catholics, should look at modern sports and see its natural evolution. That is, where does it end up? Where does it lead us? It brings about, first of all, many an excess. As I said, money and the like, things like that. Then so much energy is wasted, and so we're not able to fulfill our duties because we wear ourselves out too much playing sports. And time too is wasted. Remember, St. Alphonsus Liguori said very beautifully that time is worth as much as God himself in a certain sense, because we only get to heaven when we use our time well. If we use it badly, then we run the risk of losing our soul. And these days, how much time is wasted in sports? How much time that should be given to our souls and the spiritual life, things like that. And it is wasted on sports. For any more details on that type of subject, I have a recommendation. Father Cicada, a few years ago, gave a wonderful sermon on sports. It's called Builds Character. So I recommend that you all sometime find that sermon and listen to it. It's very interesting and beneficial. Now, sports in America especially, they have become a sort of religion. You can't deny that. No matter how much you love sports, you cannot deny it. Just think about it. You can't deny it. Because sports have their own rites, their own saints, their own sacrifices. What are the sacrifices they make? The sacrifice, perhaps, of a young man's knee or his health, your time, your family, your money. All of that is sacrificed. Not to mention the sacrifice of modesty, the sacrifice of church. You leave church because of sports. And the sacrifice of sanctifying the Sabbath day, sanctifying the Lord's day. How many times athletes go and waste a whole day in sports when their minds should be directed towards God on Sunday? Or how often we sit in front of the television watching basketball or football when we should be sanctifying Sunday? So those are the sacrifices. And we are, believe it or not, we are all plunging deep into hell in a handbasket. And yet nobody realizes this. And the reason is because sports distract us. They distract us from the things that truly matter. And we have replaced the things that truly matter with a ritualized strife. That is, an organized fight. We have replaced the things that matter with that. It is a pagan play which is meant to take us that much closer to communist China and to the one world of Bush and Ratzinger. Now, turning towards the spiritual lesson for this sermon, when we reflect on the first sorrowful mystery of the Holy Rosary, our Lord, it says, being in an agony, remember, agony is sport, being in an agony, he prayed the longer. Now, he was in an agony, but it was not one in which he was trying to prove himself better than anyone else, but rather he humbled himself in obedience to his Father and to his Father's will. He fought against his own human heart and his own human will in order to submit to God's holy will. Now, our agony as well, St. Paul tells us, is an internal struggle. It is a struggle not against people, but against ourselves. It is a struggle against sin and Satan. There is no fighting for a perishable crown, but for an imperishable one, the one which St. Lawrence won upon his gridiron. And be sure that our saint of today, he spent a very long time in training for his agony, for his sport, because he trained for this sacrifice by penance and by prayer and by reparation, by sacrifice, and by love of God. That was his preparation for his agony. And so imagine St. Lawrence today on the gridiron, and imagine him looking up into your eyes and telling you the same as what Christ and St. Paul and the fathers of the church and the popes have all told us. Do the opposite of the athletes. Do the opposite. Reject the paganism that plays havoc in this modern pagan culture, and strive not for an earthly prize, as athletes do, but strive for the same prize as our Lord did in the garden, the redemption of mankind, the redemption of souls. Strive for that, because his unspeakable agony is the true standard for each of us as we struggle to attain salvation, which is the only true sport or striving, the only agony that has a purpose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.